guys, welcome to Vaudeville. Woo! And I'm so excited today because Vaudeville has gone international. We have an international guest from Italy. I'm here with
Andrea. Hi, I'm Andrea. Nice to be here. First time on a podcast ever, so thanks thanks to Naomi.
Yay! I'm so excited. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm very excited and a bit scared because I the first time it's always a bit scary in everything. Yeah. So,
are we talking about?
And it's very unscripted, but we want to talk. We plan to talk about the politics, especially the difference between politics as an European, as an Italian from Italy. I live in Italy, and in America. So.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yes. Politics as a whole and the difference between Italy and. Italy, Europe, and the United States.
I am looking forward to that. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So I'm going to start by looking at your perspective and asking you, like, who is the leader of Italy and how does your Italy head of state work? Because you have a prime minister, you have a president. Like, how does it all work?
Okay, that's what confuses most American people in general when they hear about Italy, for example, because we don't have someone like President Biden. Mm-hmm. We don't have a president like that. Mainly, we don't have a president so powerful. We have two main figures. One, which is the head of state, who is very apolitical. It's he basically makes sure that the laws are comply to the constitution. Mm-hmm. And it's if he has to get in politicals in politics, where it means things are really 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 messed up. It's really going bad, and it happens quite often because Italy it doesn't have a very stable political system. And then what's the most similar to what you can think about a president like President Biden? It's what's our premier? We call it premier. It's the prime minister, and it's. Basically, the expression of the party, or better say, the parties who won the election, they get to choose, and is like the face of the government, and it's the most powerful in the way that it's the most the one that gets to. I don't know what to say in a simple term, but it's the one that gets to choose the politic the line of the. Of the government, but a lot of power, a lot of the power is actually in the hands of the parties, of the political parties. And what's I think it's key to understand, it's in America you have two parties, you have Democrats and Republicans. That is, in Italy we have like a dozen parties.
A dozen.
And at least a dozen. It's actually more, but we stick to a dozen, which like the one who gets into parliament. And among those dozen, at least four or five can be considered major parties. So it's never like this party won the election. Like it's not like the Republican won the election. The Republicans just. But we are like those three parties get together to make a government, and they have to find a deal together to work together and choose what to do. So that's the main difference. It's not like there is this party won. It's like there is this coalition of party which sort of goes together, and that's the government. Like in the last 3 years, with the same parties, there are no new parties. We had like three governments in 4 years. It's like a sport in Italy to change government every very very often. To what I think it's sad, very sad, but also very funny. It's in Italy, as a republic, has been for like 70 years, since the Second World War, we've been a republic. In 70 years, technically, we should change the government every 5 years. Mm-hmm. In fact, on average, we change government every 2 years. So it's always, it doesn't go very smoothly.
Wait,
let's
so
put it this way.
You guys change your government every 2 years, like...
On average, yes. Sometimes it's a little more, sometimes it's a little less, but it's pretty rare that the government gets to its natural end. Every 5 years, we should go to election and choose our representatives in the parliament, And then for 5 years, that's it.
Right.
In practicality, that's very rarely happens.
That's very different from here. Like,
that's very different. I know. And another big difference, I think, it's, if I understand correctly, I might be mistaken here, it's when, for example, Biden wins the primary of the of the public, no, of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Okay. He gets to choose the line of the party. Am I right? He gets to sort of, he's basically the head of the party.
Well, not really. It's not.
It's more complicated, of course.
Yeah,
but...
it is more complicated. Usually, it's like, oh yes, he's the. It's how the party is seen right now is through Biden's fate. I don't know, presidency. But really,
yes.
The party have, like, I guess each party has a spectrum. So, like,
of course.
Yes, he is, like, the face of the party because he's a president. But, like, each party has its heads. So, like, the Democratic National Conventional Committee, DNC, has a head. Currently, if I'm not mistaken, is the guy who ran for senator from South Carolina but did not win, but he did a lot of, like, he got a lot of donations, so, like, he got a lot of, like, wait, hold on, let me just Goog that first, because DNC chairman, is currently, ooh, they didn't show me that. They tell me Tom Perez, but I thought he left. Okay, so kind of, it's very complicated. Like, every, because it's mostly a two-party system. We have other parties,
mm-hmm.
and people can run as independents, so, like, not affiliated to any party. But, like, because it's a two-party system, it becomes very complicated because it's either you're here or there. But generally, not one party carries everyone's ideology. So everyone is, like, kind of confused. I guess with Italy, because you have, like, mostly five major parties, at least one party should carry, I guess, your ideology. And I would still speak about political spectrums in terms of parties.
That's the fun part. It doesn't. Especially
doesn't.
On the left. It's like, it's almost a meme at this point, but especially on the primary left, on the left party, the biggest party of the left, it's called the Partito Democratico.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost funny as every few months someone gets angry at the party, break away, and, like, it's form another party which is like 0.1% in the in the rankings of the in the percentages of votes, and it's almost a meme at this point because it's there is this, and almost like I think it's very similar to what's also in the US. The right, especially the far right, tends to be very very close and very united in a way, especially around one person. Why the left tends to be, no, let's break apart and be irrelevant.
I feel that too with the United States party. Like, we have the Republican Party, which is considered right, but, like, you can question, like, set it to right or right, or it depends on who's the president. It could be sound far right, I don't know. Not going to sound controversial, but then there's the Democratic Party.
I have something more controversial to say about about if you're right or far right, because in from an European point of view, mm-hmm. you don't have a right party and a left party. You have one right party and one far right party.
Oh,
because
wait,
the Republicans will be considered far right in Italy, for example.
Wait, far right. Like,
yes, pretty much far right, not like Nazi level, with Trump close, but but the very interesting party, I think, it's the Democratic Party, would be considered a centrist at best, like centrist,
yeah.
centrist right, okay, like someone like Bernie Sanders, for say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think in America he's considered basically a communist,
socialist.
Yes, the socialist. In Italy, it will be a very, very moderate leftist.
Wait,
like
so in Italian spectrum, the Republican Party is far right. The Democratic yes. Party is center, and they're like Bernie Sanders, and you know, I don't know if you heard of AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
See, yes, I know
it's
of her.
It's considered center left.
Yes, they will be considered moderate left. Like, no, it's not extremist left.
What
it's like
is left,
moderate
then?
Left.
Like, what is left in Italy? Like, what party is left? Like, what is the?
Okay, the left. It's a bit complicated to talk about the left, but in general, it's the far left. It's basically full on communism, like Stalin. Okay, that's what we call far left, and there are people who think like that. I think they are wrong in thing. I think that's not a very good system. I wouldn't like to live in such a system. But there are people who identify with that ideology. And
can they openly say, "Hey, I'm a communist"? Like they can openly.
Yes, definitely. Especially
wow.
in.
Wow.
And yes, it's not frowned upon. Okay, wait. Let me rephrase a bit. It's not like everyone goes around and says, "Oh yeah, I'm a hardcore communist," but it's not like you are getting you are weird for saying that. But it's not so unusual to be insane to hear it. Okay, like in other places, there are people who openly say they are fascist or Nazis,
oh!
and that's more frowned upon. But there are it's. There are small groups that like that, and that's more fun point. But there is a bot, like it's a thing.
Wow!
Like they don't openly say I'm a Nazi because that would be illegal. Also, but there are a couple of very small parties that are like basically openly
fascist.
Openly, I don't know. Openly refer themselves to Mussolini and. That part of history. So
what do you consider yourself in this ambiguous political spectrum?
Okay, that's a legitimate question. So I consider myself a moderate, like a centrist, basically. I tend to lean towards the left for what's like the social service, like the what's can
yeah.
so for example for rights for people for what's welfare for
mm-hmm.
example, and while I tend to be more towards side on the economical side, so states of a bit more, it's not exactly, it sounds a bit, but a bit more capitalist in a way.
In US, they have people who are like that. They call themselves socially liberal, but fiscally conservative. So, like, that's what they call themselves. Like, the state of New Hampshire, like, a lot of northeastern states in the United States, like New Hampshire and, what did I say? Massachusetts. Those states are quite, like, liberal socially. Like, they have a lot
yes.
of social programs and stuff like that. But they are very fiscally conservative. Like, a lot of their, like, even though their senators and their representatives are mostly Democrats, a lot of their governors are Republicans, which is kind of funny.
Yes.
But, like, because they fiscally are very conscious in terms of, like, how the economy is going for them, they have, they are fiscally minded in terms of, like, very conservative in terms of, like, how they spend money and how the money is, like, used. But they are
yes.
all for social programs. And stuff like that. So it's kind of like a weird dilemma of like, oh yes, you know, I'm yes for social programs. I'm yes for everyone should be equal, but like use like don't tax us that much. Use our tax money. Use
yes.
sensibly.
Exactly. I can identify with that, especially like yes, the state should make sure that everyone is treated equally, women are treated properly, that minorities are treated properly, and that healthcare can run smoothly, that is available for everyone. But at the same time, it shouldn't be in control of the people's work and the economy. Like let the economy go a bit. It's obviously all. It's a bit difficult, I think, to be to identify the same because people tend to assume, oh, so you are for this or for that, and it's not always clear. Maybe two things that are similar, that you may consider similar, for example, in economical politics, I can say yes to one thing and not to the other. So it's depend. I think it's I stand for I think what's best for people and for what's best for people is not always in one ideology. So I intend to stay a bit on the left, especially because especially in Italy, most. I know most battles for people for improving people's lives, like mm-hmm. healthcare, like I don't know, having. Let me make an example. Like if you are a pregnant mother, to stay home and have your pay as normal. Those are things on generally on the left, while the right is more on don't tax workers too much. Don't get dense on the states in the incorporation and things like that. But so I'm a bit in the middle of this.
That's quite so. In terms of American political spectrum, you'd be considered more a Democrat.
Yes. No. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Okay. I don't know what I would be in America because I've never actually been to America, but. Let's say that when I stay up, the whole night to follow American elections, mm-hmm. the last two terms, and when I saw that Biden was elected, I was relieved. So that's I think that's the same something.
Oh, okay, I don't know if generally if you're just a very curious Italian or like are Italians. Also curious about American elections and were they having people who are leaning towards a certain candidate or another candidate or something like that?
Okay, so I'm definitely in the more curious categories. Like I like politics. I like to mm-hmm. know what's around the world that's going on political wise, especially geopolitics. And but I think in general Italians, especially. Maybe my age group, in our age group, a little bit more, are more interested in what's happening in America than Americans are interested in what's happening in Italy because, of course, America is a huge influence in our lives in a way. Mm-hmm. When probably you don't remember, but it was a big news is when President Trump said at one point that something like China is an ally and the European Union is an enemy. That's mm-hmm. that was basically a disaster for us because wait, what's going on? It's there is a lot of influence from America to Europe. So what happens in America? I think impacts our lives in a way. Maybe not directly my life, but the politics of yeah. Europe, the European Union is heavily influenced. So it's nice to know what happens over the sea, to know what's expect us here. Like when, for example, when Trump Trump again put I don't know what's called. Basically taxes on of imports of goods, mm-hmm. like he did with China, he did it with Europe to an extent, and so that's a big impact of people's lives because in Europe, so it matters what happens in United States.
Yeah, I can tell you for one fact, not a lot of people know what goes on in Italy here, or not a lot of Americans can actually spot Italy in the map, even though it looks like a boot.
Yes, absolutely. Have you seen it? I think the most people ever, Americans ever knew about Italian politics, John Oliver, the comedian.
Yeah, John Oliver, I know John Oliver.
Yes, he made, I think 2 years ago, he made a piece on Italian elections.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen it?
I haven't. I'm not a freaking watcher of late night TV.
Oh, okay.
I have a certain idea of Italian politics, but you can summarize what he said, and I kind of get it.
Yes, Vabbè, is an Italian word, and it happens. Anyway, he made this piece about Jan Pelpi, and I rewatched it yesterday. I thought I wanted to send it to you to watch it before like this, but I must have forgotten, apparently. My bad. And it's crazy how it's still pretty accurate nowadays, so... It's interesting that, but I understand that most Americans don't really care about European politics because what happens here has nowhere near as big as an impact on America than the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, it's not only politics, obviously, it's also very, the culture of America is, it translates to Europe very quickly. So everything that happens in America, give it a few months, happens in Italy. It happens in Europe in a way.
Yeah, I totally agree with that because I listen to global politics. I listen to most of my news from some global source, not just restricted to the American news outlets. So I do know that, like, for example, with what they call Trump's ideology is quite... interesting. In a sense, it happened, it was like this domino effect that a lot of countries started voting more right-leaning presidents or prime ministers, etc., etc. Like, for example, in Brazil, that happened. In Brazil, it happened in, was it India or another country? India.
Yes, it was in India, but I think...
Then Hungary had their own issue with their own president voted more right-leaning, so it was like this weird domino effect, and I was like, oh god, this is like, you know, yes, what happens in America is like it goes around the world, but it, in a sense, it's the other way around too. Also mentioning Boris Johnson for the UK, oh god, they started voting more comical people into those type of seats. But, like, what another thing that it's a domino effect is that what goes around the world also affects the United States in a sense. For example, the re-election of the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, was right before President Biden's presidency. Also, when Bolivia, even after, like, they tried to remove the Bolivian, I guess, president, Bolivia voted another socialist to the seats, and it came this weird domino effect of like people going more left, and then, you know, it's, I feel like, you know, people should be more aware of other countries because it's like a weird domino effect that goes on, that what happens to a country will likely happen to the country you live in terms of something like that. Like, people, like, when Trump was elected, a lot of people in other countries started feeling bold about like their idea of having a little bit more right-leaning ideologies. I don't know if that's the same with Italy, because I recently watched a video on Instagram about some Italians conveying together. I don't know what they were celebrating, but like they were neo-Nazis, I'm pretty sure, because they said
it's very likely
there were many of them, and I was like, bruh, this is scary. And they were like, you know, clapping for Mussolini, more or less celebrating him, and then they went on to hear Hitler, and I was like, oh god. So it's like a weird domino effect that keeps going on, so people should be more aware. I will say, like, you know, Americans tend to live in their own bubble. I will put that off, like, you know, America, everything. I mean, America is big though, so like each state is more or less a country of its own. But like they should be aware of, like, they talk about the Middle East all the time here, but like no one really knows what goes on in the Middle East. Like, you ask them, oh, what's happening in the Middle East, like oh there are wars, what are the cause of the wars, and everyone's like, crickets. No one really can explain the domino effect that happened in the Middle East. Like, everything, yes, everything in America does affect them, but like there's also a whole history of colonial empires that happened in Europe, mostly based in Europe. Like we look back at, like, you know, the Palestine and Israel thing, and you look back and the cause of it is Britain, because Britain cannot keep land to themselves. they like to jump from one land to the other, and it causes whole rifts. And like, they have to do more research into that to kind of understand how the world goes. But then again, people are like, oh, America, we don't care. We are the best. We make the world go round. And so it's that. For, like, it's quite complicated. Because, like, I'm so intrigued that you know a lot about politics. Like, you talk about Biden and all these type of things. And I could barely even mention your prime minister's name.
Right, but it's absolutely reasonable because... Well, that's the way it goes. America is America. We call America the United States in general, but the United States is a huge country with an economy that is incredibly big to understand. Mm-hmm. While Italy is okay, it's not the smallest country in the world, but it's relatively small. It's not such a military. It's not a military power, for example. So it's a solution. I don't know the prime minister of basically any country aside Italy, France, Germany, the United States, maybe Spain. I think I know some European anyway, Canada. Close to me, and Canada obviously, and the United States, but. Name me a random country in Africa, like South Africa. I have no idea who is in power there. Just to make an example, or some Asian country. I have neither Australia. Australia, I have absolutely no idea who is in power in Australia or what's going on there. So I think it's obviously, I think if you're maybe a journalist, okay, you can keep track of everything. But people like us who like to keep track of what's getting work, get informed, and read papers, listen to things, but you can't possibly follow everything. So what I choose to follow is what I think is closer to me. So Europe mainly, the United States, and a bit of everything else, but I can't know every single thing that happens in the world. So you have to choose a bit, I think.
Yeah, weirdly, I'm someone who, because I guess I've always moved from one place to the other, I'm very much aware of what goes on in, like, you know, Africa. I know a lot of leaders in African leaders, like, by name.
I think it's proven my points because you have a connection to Africa. So you are more interested in what's happened there for personal reasons. I'm more interested in what's happened in, let's say, France or Germany for personal reasons. So it's... If no one else has ever been to, let's say, Australia, and has no friends in Australia, we are less likely to read the news about Australia.
I have no connections to Australia. I do read the news in Australia. I do read the news in Australia. I know that they are weird. There's a weird political... I need to find an Australian to actually interview now because their political structure is kind of topsy-turvy. The liberals are a little bit more right, and then the people they call consider right leaning are more left. It's weird. Things are upside down in Australia. Now you understand why it's called the Down Under. But I know that, like, they have a COVID problem right now, especially with the vaccine distribution, and their prime minister, someone called, I'm pretty sure it's Scott Morrison, or I'm not. I know his surname is M. Okay. I'm pretty sure his first name is an S. I'm sure it's called Morrison, but my mind might just be going haywire. I am aware of things that are happening. Even like South American country, I've never been to any South American country ever. But like, I like to once in a while listen, like, know what happens in Ecuador or Bolivia or like Peru. Like, it's just so.
In those are big countries in a way, as big as Italy, if not more. So, I mean,
they are big countries.
Well, in a way, Peru is quite big.
And Peru?
Peru?
Inside?
Okay, I think we got a bit of a tangent here.
Yeah, we did get...
Okay, let's go back to politics. Because
okay, back to... back to Italian politics. So, like, in my government class... This might sound offensive, but like my government class...
I don't get offended easily, okay. So go on.
Because I had a government teacher, he was... a little bit right-leaning, and he was talking about the European Union in a very bad sense, you know, he's American and everything, so like I kind of understood him, but then he was like, you know, the reason why Europe is coming down is because of four countries, and he called them pigs: Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. And it was like, what? Like, that's, first of all, sounds to me very offensive in a sense, but like, I'm I started like trying to be more conscious of like the economics of those countries, because apparently those countries put the whole EU to debt a lot of times. So like, you as an Italian, like, how can you explain that to someone who's like him, who already has this very negative notion of those countries?
Okay, I will try as best as I can. So it's obviously not nice, but it's also it's kind of accurate. Mm-hmm. Those things, because not traditionally, but in the recent years, Greece, Italy, Spain, and Portugal, the southest countries, mm-hmm. have been the one with the most problems with making big debts and having troubles with our economy, and so other countries, especially northern countries, that tends to be a bit richer, tends to be a bit more stable politically. Feels like, we are paying for they can't keep their wallet straight. They waste money, and we definitely do. I don't say we don't, but they have bad politics. They waste money, and we have to with our money we have to pay their debts. Mm-hmm. Okay, and in a way that's kinda true, because Greece goes when you run out of money completely and you have to go to the bank and say I have no more money.
Bankruptcy.
Yes, Greece got bankrupt. Thanks, I didn't remember the word. Greece got bankrupt, and it was a huge mess, because basically the country went, we don't have money to do everything. It's a mess. We don't know what to do, and the Europe had to step in and basically try to solve the problems. And basically, the way to solve the problem is give them cash, a lot of cash. And Italy, in a way, is stuck because of many years of bad politics. We waste a lot of money in useless stuff. In basically, what we call them contentini elettorali. Basically, it's you are a small business owner. We give you tot euros, or we make you go to end the work, go to pension. It's called pension, no? Go to pension some years earlier, and vote for us, basically. And it's not so phrased, but that's the meaning. And the problem is those are basically wasted money, because they benefit very few people and don't improve the general economy of the country. And so many years of bad politics have caused it to always have more debts that they can manage to make always more debts for things that basically aren't helpful in the long run.
Wow.
You can make a similar argument for Spain and for Portugal. And so other countries started to feel this way in especially the more right-leaning parties used this argument against the European Union. The biggest we haven't mentioned this before, but basically on the European level of mm-hmm. the European Union, the biggest talk is there are people who are pro EU, like they want the EU to be a strong, they want the EU to be to talk together to other countries, to be united, basically. And there are other countries, like for example the UK, who said no, the European Union it's bad, it's only hurting us, we are better alone, and so we want as little EU as possible, or like the UK did, or if we leave, and we not want to have nothing to do with it. Now, full disclosure, I'm extremely a Europeist, so I'm very pro EU, and I think I've said this to you personally at least once before. And so this as argument used even during the for Brexit, Boris Johnson and not Boris Johnson back then, but the people pro Brexit used to say we are giving this money to Italy, to Greece, and they are burning it, while we can use this money to solve problems that we have here. We can I don't know, shelter the homeless, we can give better pays, or everything you can think of. And I think that's a flawed argument because it doesn't really work like that. But it's an argument and it's a fact that countries like Italy have a very messed up economy. And so it's even in Europe, like in the United States, there is a rise of the right and far right parties, rightly. Especially in Italy, I can tell you the next election would be won by the right and far right parties, hands down. Like there is not even a question.
Why?
Because basically they are the most. Think about it like Donald Trump. It's basically like what happened with Donald Trump is going to happen with Italy the next round of election, and it could have been happened. It could have happened a few years back, but we actually don't have an elected government right now. We have a technical government, which means that the head of state said things are so bad, we don't know what to do. We call an external person, like not a political person, but someone else. We all get behind him. This person is called Mario Draghi. You probably never heard of him. It's like the man who single-handedly saved the euro during the crisis of 2008. Mm-hmm. He was the man that ran the European bank back then, and yeah. He basically saved the Europe to go into default alone. So I like him a lot, but anyway, it's not like with a party. It's like he was called and say you become the prime minister, and you do what's necessary to not make us go bankrupt. Which yeah, it means we are going very good. Anyway, I got a bit lost with this, but it's so in a few years, no, sorry, in less than a year, we will have a new election because this mandate for this person is temporary. Okay, you have to solve these problems, then you can then we go election and we see what people want because that's how democracy works. And I can tell you already that like Donald Trump was elected in the United States, the Trump equivalent, in a way, in Italy, would be elected next round.
Wow. Like, when it comes close to that time, we should probably do another podcast. It's gonna see if that actually happens. I am actually very amazed, because I don't know. Like, actually, with something like COVID that really ravaged Italy during the time it came, you would think that more people...
Naomi, can I please ask you only to speak a little bit slower? Because sure. I have a little trouble. Not to be rude, but it's just because I make it's a bit difficult to follow.
Yeah, no problem. You would think that because of COVID that happened, mm-hmm. like in Italy, it really like ravaged Italy in the first few stages of it. You yes. would think like more people would be out of the right and think more left, because you know in crisis like public health situations it seems like more left parties do better at controlling things like COVID, but I don't know how it was in Italy. But I like, can you explain, did COVID have any effect on how people saw their lives politically?
The honest answer is I don't know. I don't think anyone knows, because as you said, Italy was hit pretty hard by COVID. Like mm-hmm. We were basically the first European country to get a massive wave of cases and consequently of lost lives. And the topic of healthcare. It's not like in the United States when you don't have national healthcare, for example, which I think is crazy, by the way. Mm-hmm. Here it's a given thing. Like it's a thing. It can be run in a good or in a bad way, but basically it's not like a topic of discussion. You are pro it or you are against it. And so it's not like, I want more healthcare, so I will vote for the left, or I want less healthcare, and I will vote for the right. Basically, it's just a thing that is run, but it's not a political topic in a way. What I think it's also very important is that there are very good politicians on the right, not in the sense they are good people or capable people or very smart people, but in a way they are very good at convincing people. Like with COVID, not so much because let me take a step back. Before COVID, the right was already far on the rise, like a lot. And the biggest topic that I think you can make a parallel with the United States is there are these immigrants from Africa that arrive and they make the country worse because they steal, they rape, we don't want immigrants, illegal immigrants in particular, from Africa. And as you know, Italy is a boot, is in the Mediterranean Sea, and so desperate people come from Africa from all different reasons and come to Italy because it's the closest place to get. And the simple message was, we don't want these people, vote for me, and these people are the cause of all problems. Which is a bit similar to the message of Donald Trump and even to Mussolini back then, in a way. But now with COVID, most arrivals of immigrants is stopped because even in the northern side of Africa, it wasn't very possible to travel. It was a mess in the world. And so that argument is not very relevant because you can say that three people are the cause of a 60 million people country problems. But I think it started as approach. It's a process. It's not like there is this event and then the right is on the rise. It's there are a lot of events that continue to happen, and the people tends to get more into this. In think, oh, okay, this man is what we need to solve our problems, and I don't know. I don't fully understand it. Like I don't believe that. I don't believe those people are the answer to Italy's problem. If anything, they're worse. Mm-hmm. But it seems that some people believe it.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure that most people who voted for Trump 4 years ago, 5 years ago, were like, yes, this is the man we need to make America better. I don't think it worked, like, at all. But I think it's we all should, if you agree with Trump or not, doesn't matter, you should try to understand why people think that.
Yeah, I do, because I have friends who are supporters of, who are Trump supporters, and I live in Texas, so like Texas is a big.
What was called the red the last time, if I remember well. So
it's always been pro Trump. Like recently, the governor invited him to the border to. They say, "Oh, border crisis, blah blah blah." Like you know, like you say, your country is things like single issues that are like
yes, that's right.
Yeah. For example, like the issue of abortion. Like I'm Catholic, and like a lot of Catholics recently are more leaning mm-hmm. right because of things like abortion, which I don't know. I'm more left leaning. So like, well, not left leaning. I am left. I'm in American yes. spectrum. So like things like those. Things because you know, as Catholics, we are not supposed to do abortion, or if you do it, you have to confess it, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, Catholics are also anti-death penalty, so like it's a before we were 50-50, like some will vote for this and some will vote for the left because you know, some who are more into anti-abortion will vote for the right, and yes. those who are into anti-death penalty will more vote for the left because those are the things. There's no party that represents two of them, obviously. So, but recently they've been leaning more right. Like sometimes someone do want to do a special intention and pray for Donald Trump, and I'm just like, okay, what makes you happy, you know? But like, it's those single issues that cause, like, also, like, recently there had been a statistic that said that like a little bit more immigrants have voted for Trump, not because of even like it's weird because it's like against their interests, but like a lot of immigrants, like even my country, people from my country are anti-abortion. People from like Spanish-speaking countries are anti-abortion generally. So like single issues, they're like, oh, we are the party against abortion.
Yes.
draw people to that side, more or less.
And there is also another thing that I think it's from our side perfectly, it's quite important. It's that, for example, the president gets to choose the judges of the Supreme Court.
Oh, am I right? You guys
and
both.
That's like, okay, I don't like Donald Trump, but I'm of this set of ideas, and so I want judges that mm-hmm. Will stay there for 40, 50 years, so I will vote for Trump anyway. Like, there is more reasons. Mm-hmm. I think there is two problems. There are, like, single issues, like you said, yeah. Very well. In Italy, it's not so much a fitting example is vaccination. Like, if you are an anti-vaxxer, if you don't want vaccine, you vote for the politicians that said, I'm like you, okay? Like, not everyone who vote for an anti-vaxxer politician is an anti-vaxxer, but all anti-vaxxers vote for the anti-vaxxer politicians. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter yeah. if you have three legs, horns, everything. Like, it doesn't matter. If you say, I'm against vaccinations, you have my vote. Done. It's a deal. And then I think that is the fact that the other fact that is, yes, I don't like this particular man. And I think it's also a consequence of the fact that you have two choices in America, three choices if you consider not voting, but you have you vote blue, you vote red, you don't vote, stop. And so you say, okay, I'm I don't like, let's say, I don't like Biden, but mm-hmm. I'm of this set of ideas. So I will vote for him anyway because it's better than having Trump again, who is against my ideas. Like, even if I don't like, in the other way around too, if I don't like Trump as a person, I'm a Republican. I think Republican yeah. suits my interest better because of whatever reasons, which is I'm a racist, which goes from I'm a owner of a small corporation. Which is everything in between. I don't know actually why people vote for one or for the other, but it's like I have two choices. I have to make a choice, mm-hmm. and if it's not a perfect choice, it's better yeah. than the other guy
yeah,
winning.
Yeah,
it's what failed Hillary, I think. Like going back a bit, mm-hmm. it's like a lot of people were okay. I'm blue. I wear blue, but I don't like Hillary,
Clinton.
So I don't vote. And the result is, okay, no one has voted, so the other white green, and oh fuck, what has happened? It's
yeah. You can go on. Are you continuing?
No, that's what. That's my whole. I'm not deeper than this, so.
No, it's okay. I totally believe that because, I mean, when I was younger, like actually being able to vote, I was more moderate because my dad is something you call Republican. He has supported the Republican Party for a really long time because he's like a pastor.
Okay.
well, he's not Catholic, but like he's Protestant, but he
mm-hmm.
he's like God is everything, and I'm God is everything too, but like he has his own ideas. He's very
yes.
evangelical. And then my mom was more liberal, because generally she wasn't really into politics prior. Even till now, she's very like more lax about politics. Like I'm the one who keeps talking about it, and she's like, okay. But like she did like Obama, because you know he was like first of all the first black president. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh my god, he's so charismatic, he's fine. So like my mom it's more like she leans more Democrat. And then my grandmother, like she's very Democrat. She like does like research on all those things because she said that before she was like, oh, she votes based on individual, but the one time she voted Republican because of the individual, she regretted it because the guy didn't do anything. So since that time, she's always been, she's like for a long time. She's always, and she's Catholic, which is weird. So like, that. So I was like a little bit more moderate. I was like, okay, you know, here, there, blah. And you know, I was kind of raised in a very evangelical home. But then I, when I like finally like came to my senses, like I had my own mind and could think by myself. I started like leaning more left. And became lefter and lefter. And yes. Because I felt like I'm someone who loves people, regardless of like what ideas you have or what religious affiliation you have. I'm going to be Catholic, but does not mean I have to force you to
exactly
what I believe. So I'm that type of person who's like, oh, I love everybody. I'm like literally free love. I feel like I'm a hippie, boy hippie in the 21st century. And I love people from different backgrounds, different languages, different that. And I just felt like the left was more or less something I could agree with. Like, my friends are like, oh, but you know, you have to think about the economy. But like, to be honest, I don't really care much about it. It's more or less like people. Because at the end of the day, if people are happy, they are more willing to spend money. If people are in a workplace where they feel like they are hurt and like, they feel like, you know, all these things, and they're all of factors. And I'm just like, you know, first of all, you have to think of the people and then you think of the economy. But then a lot of my friends think of the economy and then people. Like, I totally understand. But, like, it's complicated because I don't feel like, you know, the Democratic Party is a good representation of me. But, like, I'm more or less, like, I settle for them because I don't know any other party that will be able to do anything. Because I can't say I'm moderate now because I don't agree with anything from the other side. I still don't. Still, this very day, I'm like, okay, you know, think of something. I've tried, because you know, for me to go from moderate to left, it has taken a lot of thinking to go that way. So, like, if I was in a country like Italy now, I wouldn't know what party I'll be in. I'll probably be like someone who is very, very left, not communist, but like close.
Yes, understand.
But like, but, like, in a sense of, like, a country that is constantly in debt, I might not comprehend that in a sense of comparing my political spectrum here to my political spectrum in Italy, you know? And plus, I'm very pro-immigration, so, like, because I'm an immigrant myself.
Of course.
And, like, people always say, oh, yeah, the immigrants cause the crime, the immigrants do that. But when you bring out the statistics, more murders, more theft, more blah, 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 and everything are committed by local folks and people who are born there. So, like, I'm just like, yeah, that little percentage is what they are escalating to be like, oh, yes, this is a big issue, you know?
Yes.
And, like, I always say, you know, you have to, like I say, look back at the people. Why are they leaving their countries? Like, you know, why are they looking for solitude? Like, if their countries were good, they'll stay there. They're looking for way out. Why are they risking their life? Like, a lot of them have died in that sea, on their way to Italy, for example, or to Spain, or whatever Mediterranean country they want to land in. A lot of them have died. Like, millions of immigrants making their way to for a better life will prefer risking their life than stay in their country. So there must be a problem. And so, like, I just feel like the left is what fits me. But then again, I can't use your country spectrum because, again, you have to factor in the debts and other things. I used to think that, you know, Italy was more right-leaning because there were more old people. Because, you know, the place where people retire. But you told me it's not like that. Like, it's not just black and white. Like, oh, because there are a huge population of old people, equal why it's more right-leaning. But does that have an effect though? Like, are they like now? Do you have your is your grand are your grandparents still alive? Do you have like two conversations with them?
Yes. I think we are wrapping it up a little, so let me take it a little more broadly. And I think what you just said is very good because I think that the struggle to choose what's better suits us as a political choice is a very good thing, and you should. Think hard and think almost in a mindfully about it. So you must feel pain when you make this choice because I think in a world where I think it's objective that our world is always more polarized.
Yes.
In the United States and also in Italy, where you can take very few indication like the color of the skin of a person, their age, their education, and say, oh, this person will vote for this or this person will vote for that. And I think that that's not good, and that bringing more complexity into conversations like this is very important. And okay, you see a statistic like, yes, immigrants commit a certain percentage of theft, but don't stop there, go for it, and see, maybe the same percentage of immigrants who commit theft is the one that is extremely poor, and so have not the choice, because I think we all in the situation of, instead of starving or letting our family starve, they will steal, and I think that's humane. And so I think that, okay, you're... there is this politician who give you these statistics, but seek the complexity in the world, and don't make it like, I'm white, so I'm voting Republican, my skin is black, I'm voting Democratic, or, oh, I have a college education, so I'm voting Democrats, and so on. I think it should be a struggle for each one to have to weigh all the pros and cons and to force politicians in the long run to talk about complexity, and because I think there is nothing more harmful than giving simple solutions to complex problem. Like, there is this problem, some of the border, let's build a wall. No, it's a terrible solution. It doesn't work. It can't be done. No. It's a complex thing, and we should need a complex answer, and we should be able to accept and to welcome a complex answer for prepared politicians.
But such complexity cannot be discussed in a country like America, where like it's duality. It's like there, you're here or there. There's no complexity. Like, everyone is complex, yes, but people find themselves in this dilemma of like, okay, I feel like this party doesn't represent me, but like, is this one issue that they represent? I'll go and vote for them. But like, I don't know, like, I thought that, you know, in a sense of like Italy, because everyone's like, oh, let's smash the two-party system, let's be multi-party. But you are coming from a place that's like multi-party, and you still seem like your views are not like represented by a single party. So like, what's now the solution? Like, how should we just vote individuals at this point? Just be like, oh, let's scrap the whole party theme. You just be independent. You be independent. Everyone be independent. And then it's, I don't know.
I have no idea as well. And I think that's part of the beauty of it. That's extremely complex, and no one has a single answer. Mm-hmm. And I think democracy as a system everywhere, it's inherently flawed, but it's still the best system we have. Regardless, because I think politics in democracy is the art of making compromises. Mm-hmm. You have all different people with all different needs, with all different beliefs, and you have to make a compromise, and this compromise, it's not fitting for everybody, but it's still the best possible solution for the community, or at least it should be. And in a world, it's more polarized, especially in America. I think, especially since your political system of two parties was built to force cooperation, and now it's pretty much broken. I think we all agree it's broken because the two parties don't cooperate basically at all.
Yeah.
And so in a more polarized world, it stopped. It doesn't work anymore. And so I don't know. I honestly can't tell if just two parties is better than a million parties like we have here. There are certainly pros and cons to each one.
Yes.
But it's not, again, it's not a simple solution like, let's get rid of 10 parties and let's just make two and everything will be perfect. No, it's not a simple, and I'm sorry, I don't have a simple solution.
Yeah.
I don't have a solution at all, to be fair.
Yeah, that's the thing about politics. It's hardly ever a solution for anything. Your country's in debt. What is the solution? What should we do? It's like, it's always like you're playing chess, more or less.
Yes.
Politics, you have to be strategic. That's why, like, you know, people are like, you talk about politics, people tell me you talk about policy a lot, you should probably consider law or be like a campaign manager or go into politics, you know. Like, I literally had a government teacher because I debate a lot of things, and he was like, you know, you should probably in the future run for to be like a representative of a place or like a district. And I was like, no. And he was like, why? And he was like, I don't know. I feel like it's never really concrete. Like, I am all for not having things concrete. That's why I literally studied English, because nothing's ever concrete with English. But, like, it feels like you compromise a lot, like, as a politician. Like, if I'm like, okay, I want like immigrants to become, I guess, citizens of a country or something like that, then someone is like, no, I don't want that, la la la. You have to meet halfway and you have to realize compromise, and I'm not someone who likes compromise a lot. So like, I feel like I can talk about politics as much as I want, but I just feel like it's not something I really want to do in future, because it's just so much selling of one soul to something. It's not, I feel like it's not worth it. I feel like I will cry every day if I was a politician. It's very complex. Too complex, to be honest. I don't know. It's like we're ending this podcast with, I don't know.
but I think it's a more honest answer. It's a more honest answer that's let's build a wall and all our problems will be solved. Okay, it's okay to not have answers. It's not okay to not seek them, mm-hmm. and to not seek them honestly. Like, yeah. Don't ignore some facts just because don't fit the message you want to pass. Like, be honest, and it's okay to need the time to solve complex issues. And ideally, we should all get together at some point and.
Yeah.
And bring a meaningful change in a positive direction. But of course, if we all get together in the wrong direction, it will be a negative change. So let's make the right choices as much as possible and do what we can.
Thank you so much for coming, Andrea. It was fun. Like, what would you like to tell our audience? You know, just like last words.
Well, it was an amazing experience, and so thank you to Naomi for having me. It was super interesting, and share the podcast with your friends, make them listen, and support the podcast. There's a way to support the podcast, I guess. And so, thanks to Naomi and support the podcast, because I think it's a pretty amazing project. I can't talk anymore.
Thank you so much for coming. I really enjoy your intake on things, especially like from a different perspective, like an Italian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe, guys, and you know, just sit back, enjoy, and yeah.